Welcome back to Don't Cut a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today, we are two-thirds of the way through Whispers of the Storm. Whoosh. I'm starting to hear some whispers.
Whoosh.
Whoosh. There it goes there.
Luke, before we get into it, Mother's Day was just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So in honor of Mother's Day, Luke, my mom has a question for you.
Okay.
Hi, Mom, by the way. She's almost certainly listening. I found this out because the question that she has for you, Luke, is you recommended a while back nutritional yeast on popcorn.
Yes.
Always. My mom tried it.
Okay.
And the question is that the only thing you're putting on there?
Are you
salting and nutritional yeast? Just
I
nutritional
am salting.
Yeast? Okay, so a little bit of salt there.
Yes.
And I think, I don't remember if I was the one who, if I mentioned this on air or not, but I tried this a while back. It's fine. I'm not sold on it.
And I have received this feedback a lot.
Okay.
But it's wrong.
Of course.
Let me add. Okay. So my current popcorn recipe.
Okay, please.
Yeah. So I've become a pop it on the stove kind of guy.
Like a Jiffy Pop?
Like a Jiffy Pop, but I just use a regular saucepan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. That's the way to do it, by the way.
So I do like a coconut oil, actually.
Ooh, okay.
Put some coconut oil in there.
Okay.
And then here's the, and then you put the kernels in, and then here's the thing that there's a like popcorn seasoning salt called like, it's called a Flavacol or something like that. It looks terrible. It
mm-hmm.
looks very chemical.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that. You can only buy it in way too large of quantities because I think it's for like movie theaters.
Okay.
It's bright orange.
Wait, the actual salt is bright orange?
Well, I'm sure there's like food coloring in it or something. I don't know.
Okay.
But
all
it's
right.
very orange. And so I put some of that on, pop it, and then I put nutritional yeast on.
Okay. This changes things maybe a little bit for me.
Okay.
Because I salted and then went nutritional yeast. And I went, I'm not getting any flavor here. And I added more nutritional yeast and was like, I'm skidding a little bit. And I added what I think was way too much. And I was like, okay, I still am not getting, this is not selling it for me. I was not sold.
Well, did you also, like, sometimes you have to put in a little bit of butter as well.
Luke, because you can't do this, Luke.
You got to make the kernels like kind of sticky enough so that the nutritional yeast stays on the kernels and not doesn't just go to the bottom.
All right, Luke, let me ask you another question. If you take your finger and you dip it in the nutritional yeast and you put it in on your tongue, is that the flavor that you're like, oh yeah, this is what I want. This is good.
Yeah. I mean, I'll at the end of my popcorn there'll be some nutritional yeast at the bottom. I'll scoop that up.
See, and I just think I don't think it's that good.
Okay.
Because I did this. I was like, let me just see what the raw flavor is that I'm putting on here. Did a little dip, tried it, and I was like, this is fine. This tastes, if I had a word for this, I would say it tastes warm, kind of.
Interesting. Okay.
But it wasn't like blowing me away. And I inevitably go back to the hot sauce on the popcorn because I don't mind that it gets a little soggy. I like that spice.
Okay.
I've heard chili crisp is a revelation as well, by the way.
That seems like it'd be way too spicy.
Here's what I've heard you do, Luke. You get you get a little chili crisp, you separate out the oil from the crisp, and you pop the corn in the oil, and then you add the crisp back to it after it's
interesting.
Popped. Yeah.
That's a lot of oil, a lot of chili crisp oil, I feel.
How much oil
Unless
are you
diluting
using
it a little
when you're
bit.
Popping
I feel
the
like
corn?
I'm using, a good amount of oil.
I feel like I'm using like 3 tablespoons.
Yeah, that's a lot of chili crisp oil.
I guess that's a fair amount. Maybe you could do, I mean, you could dilute it a little bit. You could do like a 2-to-1, a 1-to-2.
2-to-1. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Okay. I'm here for that. I have been meaning to branch out. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm upgrading my popcorn game. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've been going store-bought kernels this whole time, just at the grocery store. I'm going premium kernels from now on. And then I'm going to try a bunch of new toppings, Stan.
You're going artisanal kernels. You're going to go to the farmer's market.
Get the different kernels, you know, the rainbow color, the blue kernels, the white kernels, the yellow kernels. Try them all.
Okay, cool. Luke, well, thank you. And Mom, there you go. There you have it. Luke thinks it's good. So, so that's why. That's why he said.
I will say, I have recommended nutritional yeast to a lot of people, and I do it very passionately.
Yeah.
And I've only met like 1 or 2 people that like it as much as me.
Yeah.
One of them is my wife, so shout out. Oh, that
works. Yeah, that works good.
Which is why the main reason why we work. but other people are like, and I am shocked every time.
And yet you were like, I need to tell the pod. I need to tell thousands of people. Folks. Tell millions of people.
That's right. Yeah. At least millions.
At least millions of people. A fractional number of millions of people that nutritional yeast is the way to go.
Is the premier popcorn topping. Yes.
Wild. Wild choice.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we're getting questions from your mom.
Yeah, we're getting questions from my mom on Mother's Day. Specifically, when I talked to her on Mother's Day, she was like, "I gotta know." That was like this is how you know it was an important thing, Luke, because we were ending the call, and she was like, "Wait, I have to ask you." Like, this was on her list of stuff she had to ask me, was about the nutritional yeast. So this was important. Okay.
Well, yeah, of course. And let me say, I am honored.
You should be. Hi, Mom. So next week, Luke, your mom needs to ask a question. Okay.
Okay. Okay. I'll try to get her to ask you a question. We'll see.
Anyway, right. Should we talk book, Luke?
Let's talk book. So we're doing Whispers of the Storm. We stopped at chapter 33, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And we do cover a lot of ground in this section.
Oh boy, do we. Yeah. Yeah. There is something that happens at the start that I feel like is important to talk about, unless you want to go a different direction, Luke. But I want to talk about Malcolm at the start.
Sure.
So the very beginning of this section, Redlin gets into like a bit of a scuffle with a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets like essentially sent off to be a cannon fodder.
Yeah. I have a note about this as well.
Yes. And Malcolm is like, I'm going with her.
Yeah.
Redlin is too sad about this.
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm wasn't really your friend in a meaningful way. Like, you all almost fought and killed each other out in the wilderness. And I get that you were sort of coming to an agreement, but like, there was never any big bonding that happened with you and Malcolm. Like, you and Malcolm were like acquaintances or like roommates at best.
Yeah. I think roommates more than, like, they were more than acquaintances.
Okay.
They spent a lot of time with each other.
They're roommates. But he is like racked with guilt and sadness about Malcolm leaving to go fight in the war.
Yeah.
Ah, he sort of justifies this by being like, I have fear of abandonment. I don't want to be abandoned by anybody. this coming right on the heels of him and like Garrick or Gare, the dude that he gets thrown out of the,
yeah,
the, which we're going to get to.
Yeah, I have a note on that too.
We're going to get to that. But I'm not buying this with Malcolm. I'm not buying it. He's a moper. I think I'm annoyed by Redland and his reaction to this.
I agree. Because he hasn't been at this school for like that long.
No.
The one thing I will say is that before this school, he only knew like five other people.
Yeah, true, true.
In I think his whole life, basically.
Yeah.
And so, like, you probably are going to develop an attachment. I don't know. That's just such a weird scenario.
Yeah, true. True. But I think it does very much inform the Gare stuff that happens shortly after, yeah, which we do need to talk about. The hypocrisy later.
Yes, definitely a lot of hypocrisy. Before we get there, you brought up the preceding event,
mm-hmm,
before Malcolm leaves.
Yes.
Which is the girl that Malcolm likes is named Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically gets told that she's just not doing well enough, yeah, or something. And so she can't continue on to the next grade or whatever we're going to call it.
Yeah.
And so is going to be sent to the army, I guess.
Yep.
Which is kind of like a wild move anyway. But she's in a bad mood and they pass on the stairs and they get in a fight. Lyra and
Redland, yeah.
And Redland. And then after this, Redland like blames himself and like feels really guilty. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Malcolm kind of gets mad at him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they were in this fight. But that's like pretty clearly just he's like directing his emotions at like the only thing he can, which is Redland. But anyway, Lyra's fate is just not about him. It's just not about Redland.
Yeah.
Like this fight didn't matter. And like there's a couple times in this section,
yeah,
where Redland talks about how he, like, through his actions, he, like, betrayed Lyra or Malcolm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's instrumental in this. And it's like, dude, get over yourself, my man. You just had no effect on Lyra's fate.
He's got main character syndrome.
He does.
Which, I mean, this is a book and he's the main character. And he's also telling a story in this book where he's the main character. So I get it.
Right.
But come on.
But it's a lot. It's a lot. this is an unwritten note, but I just want to say, because I talked about him only being with like five other people his whole,
mm-hmm,
life.
Yeah.
I think we're underestimating, or maybe I think we're overestimating his social skills. Because they've got to be so underdeveloped, right?
He's so confident, right? He talks about how he's constantly spitting game. He's got to be, yeah, he is the most homeschooled kid any of these people, exactly, have encountered.
Yeah, so homeschooled.
Oh man, poor fella.
Yeah,
but
okay, let's talk Gare.
Yeah, so there's sort of a saga that happens that starts with the book, right? Because the Gare thing is sort of the culmination of this book.
Yeah.
He gets this book that just sort of like the wind leads him to this book in the library.
Yeah.
That's just there. It's just on a shelf. But he gets a sense that it needs to be hidden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a bunch of, like, I feel like Alessandra and Mika are both like, you don't have that book, do you?
Right.
And he's like, nah, I don't got it. I don't got that book. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe the book is evil. Did you think about that? Like, why is Redland so committed to this book? You know what I mean? There is,
yeah,
there is a certain sense in me that's trying to understand why he feels so connected to this book and why he's willing to like hide it and conceal it from everyone. And I've yet to come up with a theory for it, Luke, because honestly, it's a book in need of a theory.
Right. I mean, I don't know why he feels the need to hide it from like Alessandra and Mika.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in the scenario, I would be like super curious what it was. Right. So even if I knew it was evil, I'd be like, but I gotta see.
But it looks sick as hell.
It's got a great cover.
Yeah. It was in the library. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
What are we banning books now? Library,
folks.
But part of this leads to the conflict with Gare, right? Because what happens is he hides the book in his room. Somebody tears his room apart looking for the book. Right. And that causes him to throw Gare under the bus. So we're now at the Gare conflict.
Yeah. He basically, even though he knows that it's not true, makes up a false accusation of Gare, even like embellishes it.
Yes.
Which causes Gare to be exiled.
Yes.
Gare, and also Gare, who is the one who is like mangled by the wolves and mm-hmm. is like really not crushing it.
Yeah. And is like constantly getting bullied by the other two.
Yeah.
Gare.
I'm curious if we have the same note. So there was no reason to accuse Gare.
100%, Luke.
Right?
100% we have the same note. Why? Why did you do this to Gare?
I don't get it. Like, you can just... You don't even... And it's presented as if it's like... He's either going to throw Micah under the bus or Gare.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't have to do either.
You can pretend like you don't know what's going on.
Well, you don't.
Correct. This is exactly why I'm so... He thinks everyone's going to assume it was Micah or Mika. You can just be like, I don't know what happened either. Somebody fucked with our room. Let's investigate.
Right. Right. Micah, who I'm not even convinced is real.
Correct.
By the way.
Yep.
Like you just be like, hey, someone ransacked our room.
Yep.
That's your report. I don't know who it is because you don't know who it is.
Correct. Luke. And this is where I feel like it's gotta be a lie. It's an explanation that is too... There's too many holes in this.
Wait, what do you mean it's got to be a lie?
I feel like the Redlin who is telling this story.
Adult Redlin.
Yes, is lying about this circumstance. Like, here's my theory about this, okay? I think Gare is a real person and Gare was exiled. But that is not the last we're going to see of Gare. Gare shows up again.
Okay.
Because we didn't see a body, right?
Of course.
Gare is going to show up again. I think Redlin is trying to take some of the ownership for Gare's turn. I think Gare is going to be a big bad guy. I think Gare is going to be really evil. And I think Redlin is trying to take some of his aura. I think Redlin is trying to take ownership for some of the evil that Gare turns into in this really weird, convoluted way by being like, no, he didn't get exiled because he was doing creepy experiments on the small wildlife in the fortress. He got exiled because I made up some bullshit about him and kicked him out. So I'm actually kind of a bad boy, you could say.
You think that Redlin wants credit... Just even if it's like, it's kind of even though it would be bad press.
Yeah.
You think he still wants credit for?
He wants what we're credit.
Assuming turns Gare into the supervillain.
Yeah, exactly, because it's sort of badass. Like if you're the motivating force,
right,
for what causes a supervillain to exist, it's like, wow, you have an impact, my friend.
Yeah. Well, this kind of actually goes into my note about him not being actually responsible for Lyra going to the army.
Yeah.
Where, like, he does always seem to make himself the cause mm-hmm. of all these events that transpire.
Right. Right. Ah, oh, man.
Okay.
But I think any good historian is like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Weren't you just upset that Malcolm was leaving and you don't want to be abandoned by anybody, and now you're throwing your other roommate under the bus, who you probably feel guilty for the wolf thing as well? Still, this is not adding up, Redlin. It's not adding up.
Right.
So I don't know. And we do get hints as well that Gare turns into something, or at least like he has a sort of unfortunate story. And it's unclear at what point Redlin is talking about when he talks about like what ended up happening to Gare. So I think Gare still has a big role to play in this story.
Yeah, I can see that. Hmm. Okay. So can we talk about the combat trial?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
So they go through a few different little trials, which are like, I don't know, exams in mm-hmm. weird ways. And there's one that's like it's just like a fighting tournament.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like the top four are going to pass, but he makes a big point to say that it's not like the four that win. It's like the four that are judged the best.
Yeah. It's the four that fight the best, regardless of if they are all in the top or not.
Right. Anyway, he in the like final match, he's up against this other guy,
and Juck.
Yeah,
which we'll talk about later because we have to.
And so the whole thing, this is kind of a weird scenario because they're like, we blunted the weapons, right?
Yep.
And it's like, I don't think that you did, because Redlin ends up like slicing Juck's neck.
Yep.
And almost killing him. So my point on this is he behaves insanely at this combat trial. He's like a supervillain for no reason, right?
Yeah.
And he makes like inside, he's like angry. He's like weirdly angry the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to me, I don't think there was a ton of provocation by any of the other competitors.
Yeah. He just hates Juck's vibe.
Yeah. Juck seems really, it's like Juck's really cool.
Right.
Juck's like handsome and
he's the homecoming
popular.
King.
Popular.
And
but he's not like, it was never presented as Juck is a bully or anything.
No. He was just a guy who seems to be heroic.
Yeah. And then he also makes the excuse of like, he's like his background kind of thing, where he's upset and angry about being abandoned and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this isn't the case for everyone, but like, weren't a lot of these kids, isn't that like the story of a lot of the people at this school?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, but
I don't know.
But Redlands is different.
Right.
Because he only knew six people before he showed up. So being abandoned by those six people is actually way worse.
Sure.
Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like concentrated. It's concentrated.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The percentage of people that abandon you.
Much higher. Much higher.
Is much higher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the Juck thing, really interesting choices that we're making there. The other, there's another trial, Luke, that really stood out to me. And that was the trial of blend. Do you remember the trial of blend?
Honestly, no.
The trial of blend is they took the contestants and they put them in a party with all these other nobles. And they gave these nobles the job of, like, making them look foolish. And their only task was to not make fools of themselves.
Right.
What is that? Like, that's not a trial. That's just like I'm just not gonna drink all these drinks that you're handing me. Like, you're not incentivizing me to drink any of these things, because that's the whole thing, is to not get wasted with you people who I don't know.
Right. You can't talk me into this.
Right.
Like, how would you?
How would you? Like,
the point of this is for me to not drink it. And so, like, you would have to offer an incentive that is greater than that.
Right. The incentive can't just be, don't you want to taste this delicious beverage?
Right.
What is it? And the other thing about it, which I think is this is just a pedagogy problem.
Sure.
How are they prepping them to succeed here? For the combat ones, they're like teaching them combat. And for the survival one, they're like teaching them valuable plants to eat and stuff.
Yeah.
For the blend one, I guess they're teaching them some religion.
I think they also, this is less explicit in the classes, but I think doesn't he say that they're teaching them some like court etiquette and stuff like that?
Maybe you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's it. But I just think the test is badly designed.
I agree. Yeah.
Just don't make a fool of yourself. What does that even mean?
Yeah. Also very high. I like, it's seems very expensive.
Yeah.
Of a test. Mm. I think there's a hint in here that because it's like nobles that are involved in this would get like something, some kind of reward if they get the students to do whatever, to fail the test or something like that.
Right.
Which is like, maybe that incentivizes the nobles, I guess. But I don't know. Are we like paying a bunch of like rich famous people and throwing a huge party for like a little exam for a few students?
This is a professor.
Gotta be a better way.
This is a professor who does not want to grade a paper.
Right.
That's what this is.
Right. This is a professor who is like, how can I meet LeBron James?
LeBron, we're still waiting. LeBron, you're getting close to retirement. It might be time to come on the pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Luke, we got to get back. We got to get back to this.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting test here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready to leave this school?
There's one more thing that we need to talk about, Luke.
Okay.
The Mika thing is something.
Yeah.
So your theory is that it's that she's not real. Is that right?
The only thing I'm basing that off of is because no one else knows who she is.
Yeah. Which is a good assessment.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple times where he's referenced her in a conversation with another character. And the other character is like, who are you talking about?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They feel like a fantasy person, right? They feel like too built for Redlands fantasy to be real.
Yeah.
So, man.
Are you agreeing? You think she's not real?
I don't think she's real.
Okay.
Or if she's, or if she is real, we're getting a glimpse into the author's fantasy, and I'm wanting to just take a step back from that. We already read The Fourth Wing. We saw that. I'll take a step back, please.
Okay. Okay. They did the great makeup scene.
Mm-hmm.
They had some fight, and then they were like, actually, we love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
He's great at sex.
Great also. At sex, and they have it a lot, and they're loving it. And he's got game. And he's got mad game all the time.
Mad game.
And he was homeschooled.
Yeah.
And she's really quirky.
So I think this kind of transitions well into my next note. I'm going to bring up Quoth again.
Okay.
From Name of the Wind. So Quoth gets a shout out.
Yes, he does.
In this book.
Yes.
And I think the way that this shout out happens supports my theory from last episode.
I agree with you, but reiterate that, for us. Yeah.
That theory is that the author is setting up Redlin to be an unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say this about the reference to Quoth is that the character, like, okay, so there's like a famous, was it a Vanguard? One of the Vanguards?
I think so. Like a historical Vanguard, I think.
Like a historical figure who was famous for being a liar.
Yeah.
But like also I think was very revered because despite like embellishing and stories and whatnot, he was a great storyteller, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And like improved the, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was like he basically was good propaganda.
I think that's right.
Anyway, the details are a little bit beside the point. The big thing here is that he hints that Quoth is a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Redlin's clearly being set up to be a liar in the same way.
I mean, there's... Yeah. I'll say I hope so.
I like it. I mean, I'm kind of into it.
I'm excited to see the turn that this could take. I agree with you,
Will. I'm more and more hopeful that the Quoth aspects are intentional. The negative Quoth characteristics are intentional.
Yes. Yes. There are a few things in here, like little short things that we need to talk about. And this is specifically when Redlin is in an intermission and he gets attacked by a guard.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains to the sort of investigator why the guard attacked him. And he says the phrase, "I reaped his father."
Yeah.
Ah, that's a tough sentence to say, "I reaped his father." You got to be really clear with your pronunciation as to what you did to this man's father. Both things bad, very bad, sounds like. It's just a tough sentence. It's a tough thing to have to say. It's a tough thing to have to hear. Oof. You got to think about that word choice a little bit.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Because that is like a specific word in this context.
It's very specific, right? Here.
Like, yep. He can't just change the word. Like, he could explain it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I guess. But he does kind of have to use that word, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a feeling like he's going to be using it a lot more coming up.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the other one that's really tough. Who names their kid Juck?
Right. Especially, yeah. I mean, I know you don't learn this until later, but especially a really cool, heroic, handsome boy. Can't be named Jock.
Jock? It might be the worst name we've encountered so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's honestly, it's a testament to his will that he did not let his name beat him down.
Yeah. I mean, just off the top of my head in the last few seconds, junk, yuck,
fucky juck.
It's not, yeah, man.
Oh, God.
He's really succeeded despite his name.
I agree. I agree.
He must be so cool.
I also think maybe Redlin did him a favor in giving him a crazy scar and like a speech impediment.
Okay.
Because now he's even cooler.
Yeah.
He's got an edge to him now. He's got an edge.
Right. His like simmering anger is like, I think, taking it a little bit too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he does have an edge. That's certainly true.
Got a real edge, but you can't tell anyone your name is Juck because they will.
No, you can't tweak that name.
Tweak it just a little bit. And it does sound like he didn't have a last name either, which is the, oh God, Luke, that means the only name they gave him was Juck. That means he didn't have a last name to fall back on.
Yeah.
Golly. You just pick a new one, Jack. Pick a new one.
Like just change it.
Sparrowhawk or something.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Or, yeah. You think Jack is worse than Ged?
Totally. Yeah, Jack's way worse.
Yeah. It's a tough one. However, Dan, he heals really quickly.
He does.
Throat slit. On the road 3 days later.
That's right.
Pretty cool.
He's got a job.
I hope that
do.
His voice comes back and it's really cool and gravelly.
Yeah.
But in a cool way, not in a like RFK Jr. kind of way. You know?
Correct. Yeah. Although that would be really funny if it came back in an RFK Jr. kind of way and somehow we were able to glean that from the book, like from the reading of it. We were like, oh, this guy sounds just like the current health secretary. That's crazy.
I think we can get it.
Yeah. That'd be a feat of writing to be able to describe that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just explicitly, he sounds like that'd be good.
Yeah. That's what
I'm rooting for.
That would do it.
Okay. So they, Redlin and a few of the people that kind of graduate from the school go to become vanguards.
Yes.
And a couple things I want to say. Number one, I still don't really get why vanguards are so cool. Because like the more I hear about them, the more it's like, okay, so they're like cops and then also like guards.
Yeah
good ones,
but like I have this note about their job, because they go through so much elite training and the jobs that they've been given. Now there's one that stands out a little bit, well, two in this last section, but most of the jobs that they're given are like, find a lost dog, stop these vandals. Sorry, are there not cops?
Right.
You can do magic. No, it seems like this is an ability that not many people can do. You have it. You also have like overwhelming authority in the city. Like, people get out of your way when you're going to solve a problem. And we're using that power to figure out why chickens are turning weird colors.
I
literally one of the quests they go on.
I will say they're like in an elite training program.
Okay.
I still don't, like, they get this badge.
Yep.
To be, like, technically Vanguards. I think too early.
Yeah, they did, like, three trials.
Because they're still, like, they, how long were they at the school? A year?
Yeah. About a year, I think.
And then they do some trials that are, I don't know, pretty like, we're phoning these in. Especially the guys, like, all right, you guys fight me. And then they, like, kind of fight him.
Another professor didn't want to grade a paper.
And he's like, that was pretty good. You guys are fine.
You guys pass.
And then they're Vanguards, and they start going on missions. So I, like, these are, a lot of these are low, well, there's kind of a big swings.
This is the one, there's one mission here before we get to the sort of unexpected one at the end, the, like, mm-hmm. quick one. There's one, and it's immediately after the dog job, where they're, like,
yeah, the one where they're, yeah.
They're like, hey, there's this new prophet. He's building up a huge audience, and we need him to stop. So you need to arrest him, but don't cause a riot. Okay, good luck. That's a swing. That's a huge swing from, like, find this lost dog to, like, don't cause a religious riot when you arrest a prophet.
Right.
And also, how is our training helping prepare us for that?
Right. This seems very consequential, and it's proposed, like, a lot of these are kind of, I feel like, seen as little mini tests.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, ah, this seems important. This one especially. It seems very politically important.
You guys deal with it on your own. You don't need a supervisor for this one.
We just want to see how you handle it.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, the guy intentionally does this. Like, kills himself and becomes a martyr in some way.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
They're like, it's like a group of 16-year-old kids that were going to go arrest him.
Right.
We gotta give longer training before we let them be Vanguards, I think.
Or like an apprenticeship. More of an apprenticeship, maybe.
Yeah, like everyone, like, you follow one of the full-fledged Vanguards around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They do take little lessons.
Yeah.
Like in learning how to use magic and stuff like that.
Right. Right. Or fighting a shadow warlock.
Right.
Which that didn't actually go too well, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, no. I want to talk about one of these lessons, though.
Yeah.
When they're learning how to use magic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by them calling it shattering. So the idea here is, and he uses this metaphor of, like, if you have a finite amount of magic, mm-hmm. let's say.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make sense to use a large chunk of magic for simple tasks. And so you, like, he breaks the glass, right? He's like, so you wouldn't use the full glass. You would use, like, a small shard of glass.
Yeah.
Which I liked the illustration.
Mm-hmm.
At first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, this concept's kind of easy.
Yeah, I don't know if you need a metaphor for that.
It's like, yeah, you have a finite amount of magic.
Yeah, like, you run out.
So... So you shouldn't use it all.
Right.
Yeah.
The end.
That's kind of the end of the lesson.
Yeah, but Luke, what about reaping, though?
Reaping changes things. I think there's more to this. I feel like there's going to be more to why we call it shattering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the actual, like, mechanism by which he uses magic is not... Like, he doesn't seem to... I don't know. The shattering thing is kind of a weird name for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By how. So I think there's more to come.
Yeah, definitely.
On this.
I mean, I think we do get a little peek as to what reaping is, right?
Yeah.
Like
he's
taking their magic. He's taking magic from people.
Yeah. He like suck their juices out.
He really sucks them. But I think, Luke, I'm curious to see how they spin this as bad. This might be a hot take. I feel like reaping should be accepted in this society.
Okay, say more.
So, and we're going to start to get into Will of the Many territory, but a lot of these people can't cast magic spells.
Right.
Give me your essence, dude. Give me your aura. I can cast 6 spells with it.
Well, I mean, do we know what it does to them?
No, but they can't even... The dude couldn't even explain, like, that he had it. Like, most people can't even feel it.
Right. But I mean, like, okay, if you reap someone...
Yeah.
Gotta be careful with the pronunciation.
Yep.
And, like, it just takes their magic and they can't use magic, that's fine.
Yeah. They couldn't anyway.
They couldn't anyway, for the most part. But if it's like they're now a soulless husk.
Right, which does happen if you run out completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe you get some husks here and there.
Yeah.
What? No,
just take
some
sips here and there.
There are solutions to this problem, okay? Solution number one. Right. You do a Stormlight archive, and you find people right as they're dying to just suck them.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Easy. Easy.
Yeah. You can even pay their fam. Like, hey, we'll provide for your family if you let us give us some of that juice.
I gotta get more juice. I gotta fly over to the other side of the continent tomorrow, and it's gonna take some juice.
Yeah,
it's gonna look sick.
I think
you
that could
work. Watch.
Then change the name. Maybe reaping is the unwilling version of it.
Yeah,
but there's like a I don't know, a different term for when they're willing,
like an organ donation. It's basically organ donation.
Yeah,
but cooler.
Way cooler.
But way cooler than organ donation. Which, I should say, already very cool.
Very
on the
cool.
Put me on the record.
Okay, that's very brave of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So that's reaping. Okay, do you want to talk about this last mission?
Mm-hmm. The one that goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. Can I, before we get to the like main fight of it, so I forget her name. It's like Sisei or something.
Yeah.
Terrible teacher / boss / advisor, whatever.
I mean, they're all pretty bad so far, but yeah, she's one of the worst.
They go in to, I forget how much she tells them about this mission beforehand. I feel like it's not like super informative.
She does tell them that like they're going to bring in this noble guy, and he probably has like, one other, like at least one acolyte with him.
Yeah, and he's like a sacrilegious guy.
Yeah.
And they're like asking her about it, and she's like, well, if it was higher up, I'd obviously be taking real people, not you idiots.
Yeah.
And then they proceed to go to a very dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she like the scene where they talk to the informant, where she pretends to like have sex with him.
Yeah.
I will say, like, my guy Redlin does a terrible job.
Truly abysmal. Yeah.
In this scene, it's like, first of all, man, obviously they're not having sex. Do you not understand what's happening? Do you just like fundamentally not get what this mission is?
Luke, he was homeschooled.
And then he like picks a fight with the people.
Yep.
In like an out of character for who he's playing way. It's like, dude, why are you even mad?
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting too. He feels like he's making a character choice to get mad. He's like, oh yeah, I'm playing the character of the like boyfriend who's being cucked right now. And it's like, dude, that's a choice you're making. And also you're making the choice to like escalate the situation.
Right.
You could make the choice that you're a cucked boyfriend who's like weak and simpering and is like,
right.
Instead, you're like, no, I gotta be fucking strong and I gotta fight these fools.
I've gotta ruin the mission.
Right. Because
for
I can't.
For my pride that's not real in this.
Right. I can't even play a character that's weak.
Crazy. Crazy. Failed. Right there.
Oh my gosh. This would be a great test for them to be on right now.
Yeah.
Be like, you guys failed that so hard. All of you.
Mostly because Redlin tried to fight them.
God.
Which I do. She does point this out to him.
Yes, correct. So at least they're doing that.
At least they're doing that. But then they proceed to walk into this situation and they get attacked by some higher up.
Yeah.
Who's like clearly better at fighting than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he ends up and she like wants them to fight and they do, and one of them dies. And then she's like, all right, let's keep going. Let's keep following them. Despite us losing in that fight just now with one extra person, I would like us to leave his body and chase them.
Right. We need to chase them down quickly.
So that we can lose to them in another fight.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're heretics, Luke. They got to do their job. What's the point of being a vanguard if you can't kill a few heretics?
It's true. That's why the vanguards are heroes.
Mm-hmm. Big, fat, stinky heroes. Look. This does start to get into some of the theology, I guess, of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are saying that there's another god, right?
Yeah.
And the vanguards are like, that's heresy. That's not true? Question mark. Are they saying it's not true, or are they saying they don't want there to be another one?
Because I feel like they're saying that's not true.
I think that's what they're saying too, as like heresy is in like false belief in something that isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I see the shadow sorcerer, I'm like, oh, so it is real. Oh wait, actually there is another god that does shadow magic too. Okay. That's not heresy then. We've solved the problem right now. We're not coming after you guys anymore.
Right. Because like the magic is sourced from the gods, kind of.
It seems like there's four schools that are associated with the four different gods around, and they each have their own avatar style bending magic.
Yeah.
So now there's another one.
Right. And it's cool.
And
it's shadow stuff.
It's sick as hell. So not.
I do think now that we talk about this more, I do think that they might know that this exists already, because
yeah,
there's one student I think that gets tested.
Yes.
And like has some kind of shadow thing and gets expelled, but Redlin thinks gets killed.
Yeah, he blasts like shadow all over the testers and they're like, whoa, gross.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yes. So clearly, yeah, there is more to the story for sure.
It's kind of a, what are we going to call this? It's not an internship because it's like a permanent position, I guess.
Yeah.
But, it's weird. It's weird. Redlin's apparently a good leader, immediately takes charge, right? Gets that one girl expelled.
I will say again, like a Gare situation.
Yeah. She deserved it.
Sure, but he's so comfortable lying to get people expelled. Yeah. Ugh. And Luke, there is a difference between being a good leader and being the one who steps up.
True. Yes.
So he is stepping up right now. Don't know how great of a leader he is.
We'll see.
We'll see. Time will tell. So we're going to wrap up, Luke, next week. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't imagine the tale is going to end in the next third of this book.
No, I think there's more. I think there's at least one sequel.
Yes. So, hopes and wishes for this last part. My hope and wish is that we start to peel back some of the layers of this lie onion. That we start to be like, and actually, that was a big lie I told earlier. Let me tell you the actual crazy shit. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to him completely running out of magic.
Yes.
Because he wants to dunk.
Right. He just shoots some wind blasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does a sweet dunk and he wins the slam dunk competition. And looking forward to coming back next week, Luke, bringing the hot takes.
And still being dumb nerds.